and the hard future ahead. Then at 10 o'clock, Air Cascadia with news, views, and interviews. It's Chris Andre. 10:15, we'll have not flashpoints. Instead, we have a special from KPFA called Cover to Cover with host Jack Foley. And they'll be talking about movies and the opera. At 11 o'clock, it's Between the Covers with host David Naiman. Today's guest is writer Jesse Ball, author of the blistering new novel, How to Set a Fire and Why. But up next, it's Press Watch. Teresa Mitchell is on deck with all the news you're not supposed to know. Stay tuned. That's next.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Rock Against the TPP, Saturday, August 20th at Director Park in Portland. Rock Against the TPP is an effort to educate and fight against the Trans-Pacific Partnership, an anti-democratic deal between 12 countries that was negotiated in complete secrecy by government officials and hundreds of corporate lobbyists. Rock Against the TPP features Downtown Boys, Evangeline Lilly, Danbert Nobacon from Chumbawamba, Makana, Son of Nun, and many more. Again, that's Rock Against the TPP, Saturday, August 20th at Director Park, 815 Southwest Park Avenue in Portland. The concert is all ages and wheelchair accessible, but RSVP is required. More information about how to RSVP, the other performers, and the TPP can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland's Gay Directory, providing a resource guide of openly gay-friendly businesses, organizations, and services since 1996. New smartphone app available for all iPhones and Droids. For more information, you can visit gaypdx.com.
This is Press Watch, a weekly counter-propaganda and left opinion program here on your people-supported free radio station, KBOO Portland. I'm Teresa Mitchell. Join me for a brief peek behind the video veil of monopoly media manipulation and an examination of the news you're not supposed to know. I'm going to start with a weather report since it relates to my theme of global warming. It's going to be hot and dry next few days, 100 degree temperatures in the region, and so you should take appropriate measures if you possibly can. And not only that, but the wind is going to blow. And so what this means is that in the entire area around the station for 100 miles in any direction, it's going to be a fire hazard. You need to consider that. I am going to take a few days and go to my favorite camping spot, but the first couple of days I won't be using a campfire because I certainly wouldn't want to risk setting the whole forest ablaze. It's going to be like that, and it doesn't seem like that right now. It hasn't been that dry this year, thank goodness, and that's going to change in about 6 hours. It's going to be good and dry. Speaking of weather, in its updated 2016 Atlantic hurricane season outlook, NOAA calls for a higher likelihood of a near normal or above normal season and decreases the chance of below normal season to 15%, they say, from the initial outlook issued in May. Forecasters now expect a 70% chance of 12 to 17 named storms, of which 5 to 8 are expected to become hurricanes, including 2 to 4 major hurricanes. That's this year they're talking about, and that's from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. The initial outlook, they say, called for 10 to 16 named storms, 4 to 8 hurricanes, and 1 to 4 major hurricanes, so they've changed it a bit. Seasonal average is 12 named storms, 6 hurricanes, and 3 major. Quoting Jerry Bell, PhD, lead seasonal hurricane forecaster at NOAA's Climate Prediction Center, he says, "We've raised the numbers because some conditions now in place are indicative of a more active hurricane season, such as El Nino ending, speaking for myself, if you were tuned in last week, there was some question about El Nino. El Nino is ending. Weaker vertical wind shear and weaker trade winds over the central tropical Atlantic, and a stronger West African monsoon, less conducive ocean temperature patterns in the Atlantic, combined with stronger wind shear and sinking motion in the atmosphere over the Caribbean Sea, are expected to prevent the season from becoming extremely active. So they think, hurricanes, and more than they thought. This brings me to the NOAA tracker for Tropical Storm Fiona. Center of it was located at 16.4 north, 40.5 west. They write, Fiona is moving towards the west-northwest near 8 miles per hour, and this general motion is expected to continue during the next couple of days. Maximum sustained winds right now, 45 miles per hour. That's Tropical Storm Fiona. You can find it on the internet maps. The time is 9:05. You're listening to KBOO Portland. I'm Teresa Mitchell. This is Press Watch, news you're not supposed to know. And so I want to get right down to some of that news from Radio Havana, Cuba. Dateline Sana'a in Yemen. Residents of the capital Sana'a say a U.S.-backed, Saudi-led airstrike killed 9 civilians. This comes as Doctors Without Borders called for an independent investigation into Monday's strike on a hospital, which killed as many as 15 people. Monday's attack on the hospital marks at least the fourth time U.S.-backed, Saudi-led airstrikes have hit a Doctors Without Borders-supported hospital in Yemen. During the 17-month conflict, the medical organization says it had provided the Saudi-led coalition with coordinates for all 4 of these hospitals so they would not be struck. And the Doctors Without Borders legal director said attacks have killed patients and staff and come with disregard even for the fact that there were no combatants being treated at the premises. That was edited by Pavel Jacomino, apparently from Democracy Now! Also from Radio Havana, Cuba, the Russian Defense Ministry says it has used a base in western Iran to carry out airstrikes in Syria. The ministry reported the strikes hit targets in Aleppo, Idlib, and Deir ez-Zor provinces. The air raids are the first Russia has carried out from a third country since it began its military operations in Syria. A base in Iran gives Russia greater capability to intensify its bombing campaign in Syria. And speaking for myself, it also, I'm sure, utterly pisses off the Pentagon. Returning to the text, this comes as fighting increases in and around Aleppo. The United States is warning of a dire humanitarian crisis as millions are left without water or electricity. According to UN official Alessandra Vellucci, the UN is greatly concerned for the safety of civilians, including a reported 100,000 children living in eastern Aleppo City, where violence has reached new heights in recent weeks as war has intensified over control of armed group-held neighborhoods and their principal remaining supply lines. The Dakota Access Pipeline is in the news, and if you're listening to Democracy Now!, there was a report on that. This is from Teresa Brain, writing in Native News, National Native News. Standing Rock Sioux Chairman David Archambault II continued calling for peace and nonviolence as demonstrations continued at a construction site for the Dakota Access Oil Pipeline a day after the Federal District Court in North Dakota granted a temporary restraining order against those it deemed were interfering with the work. Speaking for myself, this pipeline is the rough equivalent of the famous pipeline that was so vigorously opposed recently and so much in the news over the last couple of years. Quoting Archambault, as we have said from the beginning, demonstrations regarding the Dakota Access Pipeline must be peaceful. There is no place for threats, violence, or criminal activity. That simply is not our way. So the tribe will do all it can to see that participants comply with the law and maintain the peace. That was our position before the injunction, and that is our position now, end quote. Archambault also alluded to President Barack Obama's 2014 visit to the Standing Rock Sioux Reservation and his offer of help, noting that back then he did not ask the president for anything. Archambault said, quote, I just showed him the reality of our lives. I believe both he and Michelle Obama were touched, so now if there's any way he can intervene and move this pipeline off our treaty lands, I'm asking him. The temporary restraining order dated August 16th prohibits the named defendants and unidentified individuals designated as John and Jane Doe's from interfering with its right to construct the Dakota Access Pipeline in accordance with all local, state, and federal approvals that it has obtained. That's according to Dakota Access LLC. And their request to the court, construction was halted due to safety concerns. The company said people vowing to protect the waters of the Missouri have gathered on land along the river owned by Standing Rock tribal member LaDonna Allard. The sacred stone spiritual camp, as it is called, has been occupied since April. It has swelled from a few dozen a week ago to more than 2,500 people by August 17th, according to an estimate by tribal officials. The court sided with Dakota Access LLC and granted the restraining order on the grounds that the permits were valid, and thus give the company the right to start construction on the portion that will cross Lake Oahe, which was formed by the Oahe Dam on the Missouri River. Dakota Access has obtained the necessary easements and rights of way to construct the pipeline in North Dakota and has the necessary federal, state, and local permits for the Oahe crossing, the court said in its motion. It also said, in accordance with the permits and approvals obtained for the pipeline project, Dakota Access has commenced construction activities in North Dakota. So you can find more on that at National Native News. You're listening to Press Watch on KBOO Portland. Call in with your comments and questions, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. This from Russia Today. The Green Party's presidential nominee Jill Stein went on CNN to directly address voters and their questions. Along with her running mate, Amaju Baraka, Stein attempted to pitch her platform to those still undecided. Stein stated at the beginning of the town hall meeting that the Green Party was the one national party, this is a quote, that is not corrupted by corporate money, by lobbyist money, or by super PACs, end quote. She said, I am not a career politician. I am part of a social movement that has been fighting for a better community. Using that introduction, she segued into addressing the concerns encompassed by the Green Party, such as jobs, climate change, student debt, and foreign policy. The third party candidate also went on to address a growing concern in the current political climate. When one audience member asked her if she would feel guilty if she potentially split the Democratic vote and helped secure a Trump presidency, she responded, quote, I will have trouble sleeping at night if Donald Trump is elected. I will also have trouble sleeping at night if Hillary Clinton is elected, end quote. Continuing with the Russia Today article, Stein went on to bash both candidates, saying, quote, Donald Trump is bashing these immigrants and is a xenophobic racist loudmouth, end quote. And she delved into Hillary Clinton's history of supporting wars in the Middle East. Number to call with your comments and questions, 503-231-8187. This is Press Watch on KBOO Portland. And Karen is on the air.
Hi, Teresa.
Hi.
I know you know a lot more than I do about the climate change issue, and I heard on a KBOO program recently that something like 10 years before we have some sort of catastrophic meltdown. And I just wanted to ask you, what is your view of a timeline for these events becoming irreparable and wiping us all out?
Oh, wild unscientific guest department.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
So let me put on my wild unscientific guess hat.
Okay.
And I'll come up with my wild unscientific guess, and that is that we're already there.
Okay.
There are people going around with kind of a message of sadness and doom. I don't feel the sadness so much, possibly because of my ideas of consciousness and life and death. I think that life is very temporary. Obviously it is. I mean, thank goodness we get a door out of this existence at some point. And I don't know, you know, just how viable civilization is under these circumstances. But I would say that I see a great deal of self-increasing phenomena. Shall I line them out? The glaciers have been receding all over the world, putting water into the oceans. The glaciers in the great mountains, all of the mountains, just about, have been receding. There's a couple of exceptions, which pretty much prove the rule. The Himalayas have been melting to such a rate. That it is dangerous to be around certain streams because ice dams are formed high up. Ice dams then break. Tremendous floods come rushing down, flash floods, worse than any flash flood that you ever heard of in Texas, comes flushing down the mountains in the Himalayas. That's the mountains. The Greenland ice sheet has been in full melt from time to time over the last few years. It has been melting so much, so many gigatons of water, that has formed a cool pool, a cold pool of water in the Atlantic, which is very much a threat to form vicious storms, because that's the nature of storms. They form when you have differences in heat and cold and within the atmosphere. The ice cap is approaching its lowest extent ever. The Arctic ice cap is approaching its lowest extent ever. The Antarctic ice has been changing in nature, and the circumpolar winds have been adding snow in places and reducing and removing glacier edges in other places. The whole planet is in crisis. Methane is being released from huge swaths of Siberia and from the ocean floor. So this increasing phenomenon is now moving beyond our ability to immediately stop it. If we were to shut down Homo petroleatus, to make up a phrase, if we were shut down the whole petroleum civilization right now, we'd still have hundreds of years of global reaction to what we've already done. So the question is, shall we ride this out as it is? Shall we continue burning fossil fuel and accept this disaster? Should we change the geoengineering that we are currently performing and try to save things or try to mitigate the damage? And then that the elephant in the room, of course, is, do we have the power to do that? And right now we don't. We have the communications as a people, you know, speaking just for the United States, we have the communications ability as a people to make a collective decision, and we have the numbers to make it stick, but we do not have the ideation, and it is very hard to prevail against the monopoly media hypnosis that keeps us in place and keeps us believing that we are unable to move, that we cannot collectively move against the fraction of 1% that drives this insane global warming policy. How's that for a mouthful?
Wow, you've been very detailed and very precise and very scary. And I appreciate that you're telling the truth as you see it. I don't think we're getting it many places. Thank you so much for all your wisdom and knowledge, Teresa. Thank you.
Thanks for calling in. Number to call, 503-231-8187. 503-231-8187. Been talking about imperialism. Been talking about Jill Stein. Have an article from Russia Today. Really wanted to feel the burn is a quote from Green Party vice presidential nominee Ajamu Baraka, telling the CNN town hall audience a couple days ago, saying he was troubled by other tendencies such as a lack of focus on foreign policy. What a Stein administration's foreign policy would look like was the next question for Dr. Stein, according to Russia Today, who described her plan as a peace offensive. Stein's comments were boosted by her running mate. Enormous incompetency was how Baraka described the U.S. intervention in the Middle East, going as far as to say that it caused the growth of the Islamic State. A military veteran confronted Stein about her position of cutting off support to Israel, as they are the U.S. only democratic ally in the Middle East. Stein responded by explaining it would be more of a compromise. Quote, we say to Israel that we will not continue to give you $8 million a day when the Israeli army is occupying territory in Palestine, conducting home demolitions and assassinations, end quote. She said the same goes for Saudis. They don't get a pass whatsoever. Nor, for that matter, she said, does Egypt get a pass, end quote. And Sunny is on the air. Number to call, 503-231-8187.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, I just would like to second what that nice lady who called in and asked you for that succinct yet powerful summary of our present ongoing state of environmental affairs. You've got such a sharp, sharp mind. You and Joanne Hardesty, my gosh, you're both so smart. It makes me almost fall over when I listen to you.
Oh, Joanne's my hero.
And I'm a pretty big person. So, no, really, I'm impressed. There are many, many good minds, good hearts at KBOO to be thankful for. And first thing, I just wanted to ask you a fast question. Did I hear correctly? Does it sound like perhaps Kathleen Stevenson won't be doing public affairs during the daytime, or there's going to be hiring for an additional public affairs person or something? Is Kathleen Stevenson moving on? I hope not.
Okay, I cannot make the official announcement. Let me just preface it that way. However, yes, she is going to retire, and I have told her in writing. just how grateful I am to her for her powerful assistance in public affairs over these more than 30 years. She is on a first name basis with more celebrities than I can count, and they would be the sort of celebrities that got to that station by their brilliance and their huge hearts. And these people know her on a first name basis because they recognize their kin. She is a truly great person, and she will be greatly missed here at KBOO. I won't sugarcoat it. I'm sad about it, but on the other hand, hell yeah, she should get to retire. So
I guess. And thanks for letting us know, and perhaps she can have a lovely party as she heads out the door, and people can come by and express their gratitude and best wishes for everything, and maybe she can appoint some disciples or something. Excuse me, and maybe you could take over public affairs.
Ho, ho, no, I don't think I'm qualified for that.
Okay, I guess, but I just wanted to say real quickly, you mentioned also the gathering of the people, the increasing numbers going there on the Missouri, and that is old Sitting Bull, Totonka Yotonka. That's his place up there. Anyway, I wanted to say something to hearten us, because that's what we've got to do. We have to be whole heart people. We can make it through with strong hearts. And Sitting Bull, when he was in London performing with Buffalo Bill, and he only did that so that he could bring the American Indian situation to the world stage, he'd gather up the coins that people threw down into the ring while he was performing with his horse. And then when he went through the streets of London, he was followed by great crowds of hungry little homeless street children in London, and he loved to stand there and hand out all this coins from his pockets, and the reporters were always following him too, and he had on all of his beautiful feathers. Each one he won rightfully. He didn't wear one false feather like some of these false people do. Anyway, and they'd say, you fool, why are you handing out money to these little children? Don't you know Crazy Horse with that, or no, Sitting Bull with that money is, what you could do with it? And he said, I know what this money can do. It can feed these hungry children. And I don't know why you don't feed your hungry children. You starve me and my people because people want to take our land. But
well,
I'm happy to feed these children. And that was his heart.
That's wonderful. And I think you bring up a very timely point. What about our system? What about its utter and obvious collapse? I mean, I think that's something we just have to admit to ourselves, and not just the climate. Coming here, I go by the old St. Francis compound, which is now a construction site, and the sidewalks are lined with people who have no choice, people who only recently were paying $600 a month rent and who now have no place, and now since they've been on this sidewalk, can't get a place. Mm-hmm. People living on sidewalks in my country, I can't believe it. I can't tolerate it. The system stinks. Capitalism has utterly failed. Let's replace it.
Well, you know, the best that this system could bring forth most often in the past was neglect at best. You know, that kind of the cold heart turning away. We'll give you this much, just this little bit. And now, now there's very little heart at all. So if we meet things with our whole hearts, we have much strength, and there's a lot that we can do. We have to bring back that. We have to claim it, because the media culture and everything else within this society tries to act like the heart doesn't exist. The only thing that you need are long teeth and a predatory mind, and that's BS. You need the heart. So that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your call. The time is 9:23. You're listening to Press Watch on KBOO Portland. Coming up on the Radio Zine, we're going to have Per Fogring at 9:30, and at 10 o'clock, a continuation. And let me just check with the engineer. Do we have Air Cascadia today?
We're still waiting to find that out.
We may have Air Cascadia today. All right, we'll see what happens in Cascadia. And as I mentioned before, heed the weather forecast, please. It's going to be very hot. It's also going to be dry. Look after your garden. Watch out for fires. It's going to be windy. Number to call, 503-231-8187. And Francis is on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
Well, Saturday at Waterfront Park, at NATO Parkway and Ankeny, there's going to be a gathering in to stand with the people at Sacred Rock.
Okay.
It's from 1 to 4 Saturday.
And say again where that's at?
At Waterfront Park down on, I think they're going to be at...
On the west
around,
side?
Around Ankeny, yes.
Okay.
Downtown, right there on Ankeny.
All right then.
From 1 to 4 o'clock. And one thing I want to mention about the town hall last night on CNN, it was wonderful to actually have Jill Stein and Mr. Baraka speaking in prime time and speaking so intelligently and brilliantly and compassionately and peacefully about everything. And then the moment it was over, they went to breaking news about the shakeup in Donald Trump's campaign staff. And I was just sort of flabbergasted. There was no discussion whatsoever about the content of the brilliant discussion that we just heard.
Oh, no, and I've noticed that over and again.
None whatsoever,
yes.
Not even a peep.
Over and over because, you know, like Bernie Sanders, they're saying the thing that cannot be said. They're saying that the system is rotten, that capitalism is to be called in question, and socialism might be worth looking at.
Pundits and experts didn't even have a discussion about what was all the wonderful things that were just said. They didn't even speak
Oh, no. Yeah, you're not supposed to say that.
That's
saying the quiet part loud.
The corporate media is amazing. Meanwhile,
yeah, I'll look forward to the day when I see a discussion, socialism pro or con, for this hour on CNN. I don't think so. I'm not going to do that.
But it wasn't even about socialism. It was about real issues, like the climate change and about the prison industry and about, you know, the Palestinians. It was about real things going on.
Oh, you're exactly right. It's all the things that really affect us, the real issues that we are not supposed to have democratic power over.
But we can talk for hours and hours and literally hours about how Donald Trump is going to manage his campaign now and whether he's going to read a teleprompter or not. I mean, what does that have to do with anything about anything? It's amazing to me. It's amazing.
Well, and speaking of him, there's an article on Common Dreams by Michael Moore questioning whether he ever actually intended to become president and whether he'll follow through with it.
No, he's a good decoy for people to think they have to vote for Hillary. But, that's about it. And then the corporate warmongers can continue what they're doing. But anyway.
Thanks for your call.
Care.
Thank you very much. Nika Knight, staff of CommonDreams.org, writes, the National Security Administration was allegedly hacked by a mysterious group calling itself the Shadow Brokers. And the most powerful espionage tools of the NSA's elite hacker team were used. They reported Tuesday a cache of hacking tools, the code names such as Epic Banana, Buzz Direction, and Egregious Blunder appeared mysteriously online over the weekend, setting the security world abuzz with speculation over whether the material was legitimate. The file appeared to be real, according to former NSA personnel who worked in the agency's hacking division known as Tailored Access Operations. Quoting one former TAO employee, without a doubt, they're the keys to the kingdom. The stuff you're talking about would undermine the security of a lot of major government and corporate networks, both here and abroad. A second TAO hacker who saw the file said, from what I saw, there was no doubt in my mind that it was legitimate. The exploits are not run-of-the-mill tools to target everyday individuals. They are expensive software used to take over firewalls such as Cisco and Fortinet. They're used in the largest and most critical commercial, educational, and government agencies around the world. That's a quote of Blake Darch, apparently was in the Post. In a series of tweets, the NSA whistleblower Edward Snowden posited that Russia was behind the breach. And quoting Forbes, Snowden believes, as do others, that the timing of the leak is interesting, as many of the leak files were dated mid-2013. They've been sitting on the data for 3 years. And Snowden tweeted, this leak is likely a warning that someone can prove U.S. responsibility for any attacks that originated from the malware server. And, of course, that refers to the Clinton emails. You've been listening to Press Watch on KBOO Portland. Stay tuned for Fight the Empire with Per Fogering. You've been listening on 90.7 on your terrestrial receiver. Get yourself a radio if you don't have one. Why should you be snitched on by the device you're listening to? It's cheap. It works in a crisis. You'll always have it. The batteries last for months. Get a radio. And if you don't, then listen to us online around the world via kboo.fm and in that manner to all the ships at sea.
Community Radio is celebrating National Radio Day on Saturday, August 20th. We'll be with our friends Freeform Portland, KPSU, and X-Ray at the 10th Annual Centaurpalooza at 2801 Northeast Sandy Boulevard in Portland. National Radio Day honors the excitement of radio listening and producing. KBOO stands together with other stations, independent producers, and folks who share a media equity mission on this joyful day. Again, that's National Radio Day, Saturday, August 20th, celebrated on air and at Centaurpalooza from noon to 10 p.m. at 2801 Northeast Sandy Boulevard in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm/NRD2016.
Good morning. This is Per Fograng, and the show is Fight the Empire. And my guest today is John Michael Greer, who's author of many books. And the one we're going to talk about is his most recent, Dark Age America. So, John Michael Greer.